Welcome to episode 408 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Lindsay, Donna, and George. The Lower Danube is a place that most Americans have never seen. It's located in the former Soviet bloc, and the marks of the Soviet Union are hard to erase. Made up of Romania, Bulgaria, Serbia, Croatia, and Hungary, this is the area of the Lower Danube. Here you get a glimpse of the charm and simplicity of Eastern Europe as it was before the commercialism of Western Europe seeped in. The world is starting to take notice of this hidden gem. When you go there, you'll be in for a few surprises. So let's get started. So two of you guys have cruised the Lower Danube this year.
Yes.
Lindsay and Donna. So Donna, you embarked in Romania, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I know Lindsay embarked in Budapest.
Right? Yeah, I went basically up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Up the Danube.
Okay. So you fly into Budapest, Bucharest.
Bucharest. Yes.
Okay. Fly into Bucharest. Did you go and spend some extra time there, or was this was tacked onto another trip for you?
No, actually I didn't, because Lindsay and I had gone to Bucharest in October. The previous year. And so I said, you know what? I don't need to see this now, because you know what? I already spent lots of time there in October. So you know what? I'm just going to do just the cruise part. I did the pre-cruise actually in Istanbul, and we flew in, and there really wasn't enough time. So basically we got off the plane around a little after lunchtime, and we had to be on the ship by like 4 o'clock.
So how far is the airport from the port of Gear?
It was about 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Actually. So
that was kind of close, Donna. That is not something we would recommend.
And the thing is they kind of underestimated our numbers, and they had like a 15 passenger van, but they didn't really account for luggage. So we were packed in there, and then they had to we had suitcases going down the aisle, because they ran out of room underneath and behind. So yeah.
And then you actually had your suitcases with you?
Yeah. Well, yes, they did actually show about one person. They did not. And it still took like 5 more days after that for hers to actually show up. They got caught in the mess that is Amsterdam.
Okay. So what cruise did you do, Donna?
I did Alma Waterways.
Okay. And Lindsay, remind us, you did Emerald?
I was on, I've done it with both. I've done it with Alma in August and then in March with Alma.
Okay. I didn't realize you both. Did that.
Or not Emerald, Emerald, sorry. I did Alma Bella in August. I
was on Alma Bella. And it was the Lower Danube? I didn't realize. Yeah. You did the lower. Okay, cool. All righty. So so I guess we're going to go backwards for you, Lindsay, because we started in Romania. And I guess you didn't spend that much time. You guys didn't have like an overnight or anything. You just got on the ship and left. Donna?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Sorry, I thought you were talking to Lindsay. Yes, we basically flew it because we were coming from Istanbul. So we got up that morning, got to Istanbul. It was only like a 2.5 hour or a 2 hour flight. So we got to Bucharest, got off in Bucharest, and basically traveled to Gheorghiu. The Bucharest airport, it's not very commercial. It's not what you're used to. It's just an airport. That's it.
Functional, right?
Yeah, very functional, but very efficient. But there's not there's no restaurants. There's no, shops where you can pick up the last few minute little things. It's an airport.
Okay.
Yep.
So then next you went to Bulgaria?
Yes. So the thing is we basically went to a very, very short distance. Basically, we moved across the river from from the Romanian side to the Bulgarian side. And the thing was, is that I sent my mom on the trip to Bucharest as a excursion, because I'd already been, I knew what to see, so I didn't do that, but I sent her in my place and told her what to do and everything. And thing was, is that there's a border crossing from Bulgaria to Romania that is not part of the European Union. So in order to do that, they've got to check everybody's passports and all this other stuff. It takes a lot longer to go from the Bulgarian side to the Romanian side, whereas we were always in Romania and moved around very freely. So it took her three times as long to get that 3 hours or that 2 hour drive. It took them like 6 hours to get back and forth. So it was really bad. So she didn't get to see much, but she got to hang out with some of the other people in the group. But I went to Veliko Tarnovo, which was the actual original capital of Bulgaria. Okay. And it's got a lot of castles and ruins and things like that.
Okay, cool. So you have something about pastries and wine too?
Well, so part of that, actually, that whole area is known for roses. And so they have roses everywhere. And so it actually, some of the wines are rose flavored wines and things like that. And then we actually spent an extra day in Bulgaria. And the second day, I went and did a banitsa. And we went to, this was really interesting because you go through these towns and they're pointing out, oh, this is our train station. This is our post office. This is our grocery store. You know, they don't have a lot of these touristy things that most, you know, countries and places have. But we went to somebody's house and we went through, you know, very desolate looking areas. It's a very poor area of the world. And so you've got a lot of just houses, you know, and they don't, one of the things that I learned is that they don't really decorate the outside of the house because you didn't want to show your wealth to the Soviets, because if they did, they just take it away. So all their wealth was inside the house. So the house we went to was very, very plain from the outside, did not look like much. We got inside, it looked like my living room. You know, it had leather couches and big screen TVs and all that kind of stuff. And we learned to make this banitsa, which is kind of like a baklava. But this was more of a savory thing. So it was had yogurt and cheese and all in it. It was really tasty.
Okay. Lindsay, did you do Bulgaria?
Not.
You didn't? Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. So next we have Serbia. I know you did do Serbia, Lindsay, right? Didn't you do it twice? Didn't you guys do like a round trip where you...
We did. We had to go out and come back. And like Donna was saying, going through that crossing was a little bit at the time we were testing and it was done by the officials. And so the whole common area on the ship looked a little bit like Rick's Cafe from Casablanca, where they're all waiting for the papers to come through so they can leave. So it's like, and it was late at night too. We didn't get pick the time we were going through that checkpoint. So we were, everyone was up waiting, and then they had to visually see you and your passport as you go. So we had to file past the desk and do it twice, but it was quite intense. But it was beautiful and it was well worth the hassle to do. But.
Cool. So tell us about, I guess, Lindsay, you go ahead and go first. Did you do the same church
I did do the same church. Okay. I did go to the same church. Let Donna go first because I've been to like 30 countries.
Okay, Donna.
Okay. Well, we landed first into Belgrade, which Belgrade is one of the biggest cities. And it's very interesting because they're having, because it's such a poor country, they actually are having a little difficulty keeping their professionals. They were talking about the doctors, and they come in to kind of do some community service for about a year or so, and then they leave because they can make so much more out west.
You know, that same thing happened with Pittsburgh.
Of course it did.
When they closed down the steel mills, a lot of people left, and that's why there's Steeler fans everywhere. Anyway, yes. I digress. Go ahead.
Of course you do. So we went to St. Salvatore's. It's actually on top of a hill, and it was built. It looks like a very old church, but it was a very modern church that was built. But it was built in the style of most of the Renaissance cathedrals and Baroque cathedrals in Rome. St. Sava was the patron saint for Belgrade, and the ceilings are all done in gold leaf and everything. And I found out from the people there that they were actually paid for by the Russian oil companies.
Okay. Was it done after the fall of the wall?
It was actually done after that. It was kind of a gesture of goodwill to buy our oil. Yes. Yes. And so we did kind of tour the area and everything. What's really interesting is all the busing and everything is all electric. And so they have electric lines like they do in Seattle, where you basically the buses kind of hit the electric lines, and that's what, you know, runs the buses. And they did say that people are leaving in droves. So there's lots of opportunities if people want to settle there. Then the second stop we did was in Novi Sad, and I opted again for food because, you know what, I like food. And so what was interesting is we got to this, they called it a salish, and the salish is, it's kind of a quad, and then you've got a house, and you've got a barn, and you've got animal pens and everything, and these people, it was interesting because the gentleman that had lived there for years and years and years had no family. And so towards the end of his life, like in hospice, so this family came to take care of him, and he basically deeded his property to this family after he died. Mm-hmm. And they rebuilt it. And now it's a restaurant with a few rooms to rent. And they treated us to a pasta, this pasta dish. It was kind of like scalloped potatoes without any meat. So but it was actually out of pasta, but that's the kind of the way it felt, the way it tastes, the way it looked. And then there was a salad, and it had this really interesting vinaigrette. I don't even know what was in it, but it was very light, very tasty. And then we went in and, grandma did not speak very good, or didn't speak English at all, but she taught everybody how to make this puff pastry. And you take this puff pastry that they had already prepared, and you cut it into pieces, and then you stuff it with jelly. And then you put it on, and they baked it. That's what we had for dessert. The other thing is they had a walnut liqueur, and they had I guess baby version of it and the hairy mange version of it. Yes. Okay. So the first one was the baby version was brown and very tasty. I bought a bottle just to bring home because I figure I'm going to cook with it at Christmas time because it'll make a really great addition to, say, fudge or something like that. But the man version had been distilled many times, and it was clear, and it definitely put hair on your chest.
So walnut liqueur, I can't even imagine. I'm thinking of like an almond extract, but that's a different.
It's the same kind of thing, but it's walnut flavored.
Okay.
It's so weird, Donna, how much alike we are, because I too brought home walnut liqueur.
The baby version or the hairy man and hairy chest and man version?
What color is your walnut liqueur? Yes.
I think I've got it in the kitchen over there. I'll put a picture of it.
Everybody was drinking it, and they were the walnut, the brown one was great. Everybody was enjoying it. They were like, yeah, that's good. And then the other one was like,
like light your breath on fire.
Yes.
You did a walking tour, right? You did the walking tour?
No, it was just, they basically trucked us out to somebody's, okay, this Salish. And it was in the middle of fields in farm country.
So Salish, is that their word for restaurant or what?
No, it's more like out of a B&B.
Okay.
A farm. It's more like a farm, but they have a restaurant attached, that kind of thing. It's a whole quad.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
So I did a panoramic bus tour, but then we also did a walking tour and went to Novi Sad, and we walked through the park area, and there were a bunch of pedestrian, beautiful pedestrian streets. But they were telling us a story of, I was kind of hoping you'd gone to the same park because I was trying to remember what the swans' names were. There were two pet swans that pretty much live on this little lake inside the park there. And they have a little swan house out on a little island that they built for them.
Well, it was a great little, because we parked basically right there and you could go walk off the ship and you were right in the town and go to a restaurant, go to a bar, go to a shop. It was very, very walkable and very friendly for that.
Cool. Okay. So Croatia, this is one you see on cruises, like ocean cruises, you know, I see a lot of that. So
but this is the other part end of the country. Yeah, so nice. This is all farming.
It's so all not wine Game of Thrones.
No. They're little tiny towns. With lots and lots of wine. And one of the other things that we saw while we were there is these fields, and it was rapeseed, which is canola oil. And they were just like this, just striking yellow. And it was so bright. They were everywhere. And so that was wineries and these rapeseed farms. And that's it. Really didn't see many animals, but what was really cool is they took us up to this winery, and it was this gorgeous looking restaurant and tasting bar, and then they also had a wedding venues for rehearsals or rehearsal dinners and receptions. And this particular wine, the Princeps wine, was actually part of Queen Elizabeth II's coronation. Okay. And she likes it so much. So anytime they have a state event, they actually get their wine from this winery in Croatia.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Was it all bad?
I didn't think so, but you know what? I don't like that kind of wine. So, but it's the white wine. That they like, and they also make champagne.
Is it like a sweet? What, like, is it Chardonnay?
Is it a George wine?
The champagne was very sweet, but the white wine was not. It was actually very dry. It actually reminded me of some of the wines along the Vakal Valley in Austria.
Okay. I don't really drink wine when I go to Europe. Drink beer.
Yes.
And coffee, but yeah. And then I need to start doing that.
And then they took us to this other winery. So it was under Roman walls and ruins. They actually have the cellar underneath the castle. Cool. And we had a wine tasting there as well. So we got to drink lots of wine that day.
And that was the Ilok Padrumi?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I bet that's really good for like the temperature control. Isn't that what they say about like the places where they have cheese in the caves and things like that?
Oh yes. Well, they had fuzz growing on the barrels. Some of the barrels.
Okay.
Yes. It had been down there since the 50s. And so it had, you know, gray fuzz on it.
When are they going to drink it? How long are they going to let it sit?
I don't know.
How do they know it's still good?
You don't know. Buy the most expensive bottle of any booze in the world and not know if it's going to be skunked or...
Mm-hmm. That's why you have that ritual of tasting the wine. You know, when somebody orders the wine and somebody has to taste it, that's what that's all about.
But they do, they rotate it like every month.
And it has happened. I have been at a restaurant where they pulled out a bottle of wine and it wasn't, so they took it back and they got another one.
But did you just spit it out and tell them it was swill?
Oh, I didn't taste it. It wasn't me. Come on, yeah, now.
The wine steward will taste it themselves.
Reunity every single time you get it.
Like, this does not taste like my regular frosé.
This isn't White Claw.
Yeah. But it was neat walking around the Roman ruins and everything. So it was a very, very old city.
I want to go back to Serbia for a second, because I feel like I did them a little disjustice by not remembering this. But we went to another town. It's called Sremski. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. Sremski Karlovci. And we did a wine tasting there. And I went, you're talking about the wineries, and it reminded me that I'd gone down into this cellar. And it literally looked like none of the barrels had been touched for hundreds of years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But they had mold like that, but they had like on the stairs, it was really neat. And I was very surprised that they opened up the door and it was at an old farmhouse, and they're like, oh, do you want to see our cellar?
And you're like, I have terrible asthma and can't breathe in mold, but sure.
Mold can kill me, but yes, please. I'm going to die for research.
Hey, but you know, that sometimes those things are worth a pretty penny.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Let's stay in Serbia for a second.
So I was trying to remember the name of the Church of the Holy Father Nikolai. We went there. That was beautiful. We saw several churches. I did quite a bit of touring that day. And then, of course, I had to fit in beer. So I bought, as one does after a wine tasting. We did our wine tasting. And then we had about 3 hours before we went to an actual traditional Serbian dinner that was hosted. So there was dancing and music, and the food was really, really good, but it was served family style in these awesome giant pots that had the kettle handle. And so everything came out and they just trotted the pot along and served it up tableside. But it was really, really good. And I, in the middle of the day, snuck off for a few hours. I got to taste some local beers. One of the cool things that the winery visited is they used to, it was like a beekeeper's, what do they call it?
Apiary?
Yeah, but they had all these, the ancient, the old style hives. The man-made hives that they used to build, and I'll send in some pictures. But it was really cool to get to see that and to see how the process developed over time and became more humane for the bees than what it used to be when it used to be. Sorry.
Oh, that was funny.
That was a long way to go for that joke, Lindsay.
I know. I was circling for that. Had to circle back. Couldn't let it buzz by.
Oh, no.
Oh, are these all written down?
No. No, honey.
Oh, gosh. Now she's just punchy.
But it was really cool to see the history of, and there was one beehive that looked like a church. It was like a replica of their church in town. And it was really neat.
I'll send in pictures of the they have the wine is called Privilegia, but I just called it Privileged. Privileged. Cool. And then we went to Belgrade the next day.
Okay. So you did 2 days in Serbia too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did two days and got some amazing Serbian beer. I did a beer tour, actually went kind of a piecemeal, found a couple craft beer. Craft beer is popping up everywhere. It's not in every country and city yet, but it's really making its way throughout the world. And it was really cool to go into some of the little breweries. Well, wasn't a brewery, it's a bar with a local partnership with a few local breweries, and it's a little bit different there, where if you want the specific type of beer, much like the rest of Europe, you're going to have to go to this one place. So they'll have exclusive contracts for beer. And so one of the bars that I went into for research, tried a bunch of different tastings, had a couple contracts with local breweries. And then I, on the way back, stopped at a restaurant that sold bottles for cash and carry. And I ended up getting, I asked, can I get some bottles? So I took 6 bottles on the ship with me so that I could taste the ones I couldn't get. Can't taste it all in one day.
The great thing is it's very inexpensive. Most of the beer is about $2 a bottle.
And it's really unique and interesting too. There were some very unique flavor blends that I wasn't anticipating. And how cool is that to get to, there were a couple pubs I wish I could have gone into as well. I wish I'd gone back out. There was one that was like a themed like a barbershop.
Okay.
So
are they like cutting people's hair while they're drinking? That's kind of cool.
I don't know. It was closed, or I would have gone in and I would have been able to tell you all about it.
So it seemed like a barbershop,
and I saw the beer and I saw the barber's chairs, and I was like, what is going on in this?
And see, I just go, I would go to the little convenience store, the little grocery store, and pick up, you know, a couple of cans of beer or bottles of beer. Like I said, it was like $2 a piece.
Yeah.
And some of them I can't even pronounce, so I'm using my Untappd, and you can't even find them because it's in Cyrillic for some of them. And so you have to actually scan the barcode to find it.
A lot of what I tried, I couldn't even check in anywhere because I still don't know how to add a beer that's never been checked into before. So that was pretty frustrating. I have like 2 giant folders of beer pictures.
Yep.
Yeah, you could have been the first one to add it.
I don't know how to do that. No.
I'll have to teach you next time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not even on that app, but I should be, I guess. All right, so Hungary. This is
so we actually made 2 stops in Hungary. The first one is in Pest, and Pest was a really interesting little town. It was very beautiful. It almost reminded me of Vienna. It had beautiful buildings with mosaics up on the walls. Everything was in that kind of Greek architecture. Little villages, little restaurants and coffee shops and everything. It was very, very active. And we went to this gorgeous church and went inside and everything and saw the inside of the church, and then came down the hill and actually came to a Muslim temple that basically had been converted to a Christian church, but it still had the same kind of octagonal shape. So it was a very interesting building, lots of interesting buildings to walk around and everything. They had a huge square and lots of people were around. It was a really quaint little town, but it was the little town that wants to be a big town.
So how far is it from Budapest?
I don't know, because we left the ship. We basically got off the ship and it was like a 2-hour drive to get to Pest from the ship, and then a 2-hour drive back.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's not right on the river.
No, it was not. Okay. But I did see signs as we were going past, this is the way to Budapest. So you can get there from here. But
I just remember, like, in Budapest, there's the Buda side and the Pest side, you know, so.
Years ago, we drove from Vienna to Budapest, and you get, basically, as soon as you hit the Austrian border, there's nothing between the two. Mm-hmm. There's not, I mean, I think I found one McDonald's and one gas station between the time. And so,
why did the river cruise bus you out to Pest? What was the draw? Did it have a certain building or something that you were, that they wanted you to see?
This church, the big church in town,
the mosque church.
The mosque church, but also this, it was a Catholic church, and it had on the outside, basically in the colonnade, they had these 8-10 foot statues of all the apostles. And it was a really just beautiful traditional church. It actually reminded me kind of like the church in Siena in Italy. So it was lots of tile work and everything in there. They were very, very proud of it. And there's lots of museums, and there's a university there. And that's part of the draw also, is that's why there's so many people there, is there's a university.
Makes sense. Cool.
It was either that or go drink wine again.
I mean,
I was like, you know what? I drank wine yesterday, so you know what? I'm going to go do this today.
Leave some wine for other people.
Exactly.
Did you go there too?
But I was still in Belgrade for another day, and then went to Croatia after. But we went out to this. To see the inner, I'm going to say it wrong, the inner Strombol Gate with bastions 1 and 2 of the southeastern front. And so it's this up kind of on a ledge. It's got a very gruesome history. It's one of the places where I think it's seen more bloodshed than any area of beautiful land ever should. But now it's this gorgeous overlook of the city, and there's this statue there. We of course saw the Monument of Gratitude for France, but we also saw this other statue, and it's this giant tall statue of this naked guy, and you can see his butt, and he's facing out, he's facing toward the city. And our tour guide was just dying laughing. He's like, every time I'm out here, usually it's older ladies that go, they want to climb down, and they like go all the way down to where the courtyard area is, and they got to go around to the front of the statue and see what looks like.
So was this in Hungary, or did you say it was in Croatia?
No, this is in Serbia still.
Belgrade. Okay, no, so. you backed up. Sorry.
I backed up. I saw, because I wasn't taking the same route that you.
Sorry, I got really confused. I was like, where are we?
So, but that was very.
So did you climb down and look at the front of the statue?
You weren't there with me. Or we probably would have.
Yeah, we would have.
You're like, well, we got to get that picture. I just thought it was really interesting. I did see, going through my pictures to refresh my memory, I'm seeing 7 million pictures of the French bulldog I ran into up there. His name is Luke. I can't remember what the statue is called, but the dog's name is Luke. Okay. sorry. But it was beautiful. It's a great spot to kind of see over the whole city. And then we went to the Yugoslavia. We went to a museum about Yugoslavia, and it was very humbling, I think. 3 days for me, between Serbia and Croatia, we got to see a lot of the places where the bullet holes were in buildings, and hear a lot of the stories. And then my time in Croatia was maybe a little bit different than yours. We went and ate with a family. We got divvied up into local host families, and there was a group of 4 of us, and we went and met a woman who had lost her entire house during the war and had been exiled basically for 20 years and then came back, and she rebuilt her home. They rebuilt her home, and she hosted us for lunch, and was very, very, it was probably one of the most amazing things I did the entire trip, to get to learn about her family. And then she took us out and showed us the backyard, showed us where the original foundation for her original home was. And then farther in her backyard, behind, kind of in the neighbor's yard, but she's got permission to take people she hosts back there. You could see, you could overlook the whole Danube. It was a beautiful view.
Cool.
A little bit different. Something I highly recommend doing if you get a chance to be hosted.
That's Croatia?
Mm-hmm.
Croatia. Okay. Cool. Did you spend more time in Croatia, or where did you go after that?
Then we went back to Romania.
Okay.
Croatia. It was our, okay. I suffer from, I take way too many pictures. yeah.
So then in Hungary, you ended where Lindsay started in Budapest, yes. Right?
Yes.
Did you do extra time there, or I know you've been there a few times as well?
Well, we did. So we actually kept going. We actually did the whole Danube. So we were there only for 2 days because we get basically everybody else got off the ship. We had a day there, and then everybody else, the new group, was getting on the ship, and we had a day there. So the very last day, they took us to the Hero Square. Which is kind of the main square. It's in the middle of the museum complex. They've got parks and museums and baths and things like that. And they took us there and showed us kind of some of the heroes of the time. Some of them were rulers, some of them were teachers, things like that. And they had a giant colonnade. And then they had these figures at the top of the colonnade, and those were the different figures, and they were telling us some of the history of the area. And then they took us, they also took us to the market, which the market in Budapest is really, really cool. Just to walk through and see all the vegetables and the meats and
the paprika,
and the mushrooms, and that's all on the downstairs, all like the fresh goods. And then upstairs is all of the handicrafts and purses and all the fun stuff that I like to purchase. So I spent quite a bit of money in the market.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I'm curious because, you know, doing the whole river, that's, you know, not a lot of people do that. Some people do one or the other. So did the ship move during that time so that you got to two different parts of Budapest on that same stay, or did it stay in the same
place? At the last one, that's where we did the Pest side. And then on the first tour that we did with the new ship, we did a little bit of the Pest side, but spent most of the time on the Buddha side.
Okay, you just said the new ship. You didn't change ships, did you?
Well, the new crew, new people that came on, the new ship people, not the ship itself. The new passengers. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for.
Right. Sometimes English is tricky. Yeah.
Yes. So yes, we did mainly the Pest side at the tail end, and then we did just a kind of a bus tour of Pest. And then we spent the entire time on the Buddha side.
Okay. But the ship stayed in the same place. It didn't change docking location. Okay.
Actually, it did. It did because they kicked us out and we had to move, you know, a couple of feet down.
Okay.
Yeah. When we did that River Cruise Expo, the ships moved like every day. We would go to do our ship inspections and every day they would be moved around. Yeah, I guess they have to do that. I don't know.
They don't let you stay like too long.
Well, and with the way that they dock, sometimes they have, you know, if they're three deep or whatever, and they have to move around anyway. So it makes sense to just shift around. Yeah, that's probably the most common issue people have with river cruising when they've never done it before, is you can't tell them where the ship is going to be until like the day before They're like, yes. What do you mean you don't know where I'm going to get on the ship? Like, trust me, you'll find it.
Just go down to the river.
On the river until you find it.
Just go. It'll be fine. Drive real slow so I can look. Well, but the great thing is they've got giant flags out to tell you who's where.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was curious because there are a couple of docking locations, so it'd be really interesting if you got to, you know, be home based at one and then move overnight and be home based at another one, you know, at a different part of town. So.
No, they move. It's like this time you're on 47 and the next time you're on 9. No rhyme, no reason.
Okay, so then they did move while you were on in Budapest.
Yes.
To a totally different, you said 2 feet, but well, that sounds like a totally different.
They moved all around.
Okay.
And they even moved from day to, from morning to night.
Okay.
But they were all on one side. They were all on the Pest side of the river.
Okay. But to different places. So maybe closer to the market at one point and then further away from the market at another point. Yeah. That was sort of the point of my question.
They move. They don't stay still.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll try to figure a better way to ask questions.
Okay. So, all right. So, that was the end of your cruise, Donna. Did you have anything to add or did we skip anything of yours, Lindsay?
Oh yeah, actually. So one of the coolest things, one of the other things I really loved at the end, we went, I've done the monuments out where she had been with Avalon actually a few years ago. But this, we went out to this tiny little town in Hungary, and I'm going to butcher the name. So let me see if I can cheat here. But what we saw was we went to the Paprika Museum.
The what? And
Paprika?
Oh, okay.
I thought you said the Paprika Museum.
we went to the Paprika Museum. No, we went to the Paprika Museum, and we actually got to go see, in another area, we went to a cultural center, and there was people who were making this, it's this intricate embroidery, like the doilies or the table runners or the beautiful wall pieces. We got to see what a traditional home looked like. We could have bought things to take home with us, and I just probably 5 million paparazzi shots of this beautiful somebody's little old nana making this these gorgeous doilies and tablecloths, and it was just so fascinating to see how swiftly, I mean, she made it look so effortless and so easy, but you just know that that's like,
I have a bunch of that stuff from like a great grandmother.
60 years of experience in doing that to make it look so effortless. And we got to see the young kids who were doing the folk dances, and probably like a little 16-year-old girl and boy doing their traditional dancing. And then we had, do you remember the, do you remember what the demonstration of the horsemanship and the cattle carts was called? Do you remember what that's called, Sandy?
So guy standing on the back of a horse?
Yeah. I think there's a name for it. And I'm sorry. It's like 140 degrees here right now. I don't know. It's not that hot. But it feels, the real temperature feels like, so my brain has melted. But anyway, one of the coolest things you can do in Hungary is go to one of those demonstrations where you get to see what the rural farming was like, and they get to show off all of their horsemanship skills, where they ride on the horses or they do the carts. And so we went out to a farm that had a really, really amazing demonstration of that. And unfortunately, I got picked from the crowd because apparently I looked old enough to be somebody's mother-in-law. So they took me and another lady out to the field, and they had the whips, and they were doing the demonstration of the whip, and they thought they were going to be funny. This is how we deal with mother-in-laws in Hungary. So he goes to whip me with this whip, and I caught the whip.
You're like, I have experience here.
I have this embarrassing photo of me like pulling this little guy on a shoe. But it was beautiful, and I think they had the best tasting garlic paste and paprika that I've ever had came from that farm. And unfortunately, they were in the box that got didn't make it home. But yeah. I'm sorry, it's hard. I did too much travel this year. It's all melted in a pot in my brain. And
in that big wave in the Pacific Northwest.
Everything is melting here. The siding on my house is probably going to start melting again. Last time it got this hot here, my little faucet turner thing out for outside for the hose did melt. Because nothing's built out here to handle heat, including me.
Well, back to Hungary.
Yeah, but we digress.
All right. So we got to wrap up. Is there anything else that we just like have to throw in there?
You need to go.
It's
not what you expect. And I definitely would not do this as your first trip, river cruise. It is not something that you will probably be disappointed if you do. But if you've already done the other pieces and you kind of want to see something new and different, this is definitely something new and different. And what's great is it's very, very reasonable.
Yeah.
Once you get on land, most of the cost of living is very low. So souvenirs don't cost as much. Food doesn't cost as much. Beer doesn't cost as much. Wine doesn't cost as much. Go. Definitely go.
Yeah, go and I think I would agree with that sentiment. I wouldn't do this. I don't think I would have appreciated it as much if this had been my first river cruise. But I did part of the, when you travel a lot, one of the things that gets me fired up is when I'm going someplace and it's got a lot of destinations I've never been to. So if there's more than two, and now it's hard, it gets harder. Right. The more you travel, the harder.
If you're a collector, this is a good
itinerary like this. And then also anything where you're getting into these tinier towns, because I love Budapest. I really do. I love it. One of my favorite cities in the whole world. But I think people sleep on a lot of those beautiful little towns in Hungary. And one of the things I was looking for was the name of another town. It's like a little artisan village we visited in the middle of Hungary. I would have never had any reason to go there. I don't know if you moved it. I have a chest set I bought for my husband that has the name of the town carved on it. But there's these beautiful little towns that you would never, if you don't know they exist there, if you don't know they're there, they wouldn't be on your radar to go. So if you were doing a standalone city visit, or if you're only doing a day or two in these areas and you're not doing one of these more in-depth type itineraries, you really do miss out, I think, on a lot of the beauty and real authentic, if you are an authentic or would like to aspire to be, as we all are, I think, tourists aspiring to be authentic travelers, to have that more authentic experience. These other little towns have so much to offer.
Awesome. Okay, well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. On behalf of Donna, Elizabeth, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.